Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to welcome every one of us to the presence of the Lord this morning once again. For the Lord Almighty is here, is wherever you are, and it shall be well with you in the name of Jesus. I have a very short message titled, The Available Church. The Available Church. If you read that passage that we read, Ezekiel 22:30-31. The Bible said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the edge and stand in guard before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. Praise the Lord. The question this morning is, are you available? When we talk about the church, many people think the church is the building. I have seen some pastors, you know, online, on the internet, laying emphasis on the fact that the church was closed down. Brethren, it is a misinformation to think that the church of God can be closed down. The church of God can never be closed down. What was closed down are the buildings. The building are not the church. You and I, wherever we are the church. Praise the Lord. So are you available? Now, let me tell you one story. Before the Israelites, those of them residing in Judah, you know, the country broke into two at a stage. We have northern Israel, you know, then we have those in the south, known as Judah. Israel has already fallen to the Assyrians and they have been scattered. But Judah remained for another century when they didn't change their lives. And their life was just as the same and as worse as their northern neighbor. God eventually put them in the hand of Nebuchadnezzar and dispersed them. But before they are defeated by Nebuchadnezzar, Judah sinned and desired the divine judgment. But God was willing to show mercy and bless them. However, despite his compassionate heart and his sovereignty, God could not show the mercy, and he had to pour his wrath on the people. And that's why he told Prophet Ezekiel in that passage that we read, say, I sought for a man among them that should make up the edge and stand in guard, before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore, have I poured out my indignation upon them. So, God poured his indignation on the nation, not because their case was irredeemable, but because the people through whom he would have poured a salvation on the nation were not available. Nobody was praying. Nobody was ready to stand in guard. So, what is the lesson for this, for us? It is clear. The lesson is clear. For God to stay his wrath from the world and bless them, he will need his church to be available for him to use. But he will not need the church to bring down his judgment. God does not need the church to bring down judgment on the people. That is why, during the course of the week, when I listen to this, when I read this, I want to judge. When I read that, I want to judge. But in the course of the week, as I was preparing this message, God told me, stop judging people. I do not need you to judge anybody. It was this part of the story that I read, and they were crying, pastors, you know, pastor, reputable pastors that I don't even expect such from, were the ones shouting, open up the church. You have no right to close down the church. The church of God can never be closed down. So I wanted to be judging. And God told me, no, you cannot judge. That is not your own portion. Do what I ask you to do. Preach the word. You know. So the lesson is clear. For God to stay his wrath and bless us, he needs somebody to pray. But he doesn't need us to bring down his judgment. He doesn't need the church to bring down his judgment. So, once we understand this, the sinfulness of the world can neither surprise nor overwhelm God. The sinfulness of the world does not surprise and cannot overwhelm God. When one young minister died in one of our sister churches, and everybody was asking questions, I remember Azona pastor coming and telling us, nothing catches God by surprise. Let us know that. Because this brother spoke to his wife 8 a.m., between 8 a.m. and 8:30. He was in Philadelphia, speaking to his wife on the phone.
The wife came back from night, said they spoke from 6 a.m. that the wife said she finished at work, she signed out at work, like that, till around 8 on her way, until she drove, you know, to the driveway of the house, of the home in Chicago here. And the wife said, okay, you know, I'm home now, I want to go sleep. Only for the policeman to come and wake up the wife 10 a.m., 2 hours after, and told her husband was dead. She couldn't believe it. She said, no, it cannot happen. And many of us did not believe it too, until we saw the reality. But I remember our zonal pastor coming, telling us, nothing catches God by surprise. So this full sinfulness of the world can neither surprise nor overwhelm God. It is rather the unavailability of the church that frustrates God. When the church is not available, when we are taking it for granted that the church has been closed down, and we are not online to pray, we are not on Zoom, made available for us to do the work of God, to preach the gospel, and so on and so forth. I pray this morning that God will find us as he seeks his church and individuals to use at this time in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So what is the state of the mind of the church for a person that will be available to partner with God? One, let's get it. Such a person that God will use to stand in gap. We want to be available. The state of mind, particularly at this time, is for us to realize that one, God is using the pandemic to humble man and break his arrogancy, including the church. God is using this pandemic to humble us, you know, and break our arrogancy, including the arrogancy of the church itself. Some churches are there. We have money. We have the crowd. Oh, we have this. Our pastor uses 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 jets. You know? And yet, Christians are dying in Afghanistan. We are not doing anything about that. I also saw a pastor lamenting on the internet about a particular man, a particular pastor that was arrested by Boko Haram, you know, in Nigeria. And the Boko Haram eventually played a ransom on that man. Bring so amount of money and we'll release him. And what infuriated this pastor that was speaking was that of all the pastors we have in Nigeria with all their millions, none of them came up and said, okay, I'm going to pay this ransom on this pastor so that he can be released. He said, none of them. He now gathered that some of these pastors are now making money available for government for COVID-19 palliative. You know what the pastor said? He said, God did not accept the offering. He made that judgment right away. I'm not the one who made the judgment. It was this pastor that was not preaching that I now witnessed on the internet that is now saying, pastors in Nigeria, churches in Nigeria that are collecting money together to give to government for COVID-19 palliative, God did not accept your offering. Because when one of his sons was captured in Boko Haram camp and they were demanding for ransom, none of you rise up to save that pastor until his head was cut. Yeah. And I agree with him. I agree with him. That is arrogancy. So God is using this pandemic to break that arrogancy. Number two, God is preparing this church for a revival and a mighty harvest of souls. Let's take House of Glory, for example. Whenever we come to church, we fill the church, we preach to ourselves. God brought this pandemic. Our voice is now heard all over the world. Word that some of our ministers have given on this altar, I receive calls, we receive feedback from all over the world, which was never done before. And if this pandemic has not come, we would not have even thought of that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, God used this pandemic for a revival and a mighty harvest of souls. You know, We are talking about commitment this morning and how we must go out and preach the gospel. The Zoom did not give us enough time to ask questions and to make comments. One of the comments I had in mind was that it is not until you carry your Bible and start going from one street to the other that you preach the gospel. Wherever you find yourself, the gospel can be preached. Through the way you do your work, people will know this is a Christian and I want to be like her. Oh, are you a follower of Christ? Oh, are you a pastor? I've been in a place where it was in a factory when we first came. I was not even a pastor then. When we first came to this America, working in the factory. The way I do my work, somebody came to me one day and said, are you a pastor? I told him, yes, I am. Said, okay, I will want to see you later. And that was how the man and I became friends till today, sharing the word of God. He didn't know me from anywhere. But the way I was doing my work, the way I was committed to it, though I did not like that work, I won't deceive you. Because I always tell myself, this is not the type of work I should do, I am supposed to be doing coming to America. As at that time. We thank God for today, for what God has done in our life. Praise the Lord. And then, number three, that the church will be its partner and is coming out to her to be ready. God wants the church to be his partner. And God is coming out through the church to the world. And then is asking us, are we ready to partner with him? And finally, that the readiness of the church starts with repentance. The church itself. When we are talking about the church, it's not the building. The church is not the redeemed Christian church of God. That's the mistake many of us are making. The church is not the Catholic church. It's not the apostolic church. It is the individual. And these things must start with us. Repentance must start with us. I pray that as we open up our hearts this morning and make ourselves available, the Lord Almighty will accept our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. But let me tell you one thing. God will not accept a heart of sin. Until we come to Christ and we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, God cannot accept our worship. The mistake many people make is to align religion with Christianity or becoming born again. A born again child of God knows what to do at the right time. He does not follow all this religion because that is the problem we face. You know? You must wash your hand 5 times a day. You must not come to the presence of God dirty. Those are religion. Those are religion prescriptions. What God needs is your heart. Have you given your life to Christ? Is Christ reigning in that heart? And in many cases, Christ is not reigning in our hearts. What we follow is just religion. May God deliver us from the power of religion in the mighty name of Jesus. I must wear white. I must up my shoe. I must do this. I must wash my face before I go to the presence of God. That was the mistake the Jews made. The scribes are a special sort of Pharisees. And they are the scribes. They are involved in writings and things like that. Before they write God, the word God, they first of all go and wash their hand. Wash it clean. Then take their pen. Then they write God. As they continue in their writing, once it is time again to write another word, God, they leave what they are doing. They go again, they wash their hand clean. Is that holiness? Is that what God demands from us? It's just mere religion, prescribed by man. What God wants from us is our hearts. And I pray that as we go along, our heart will follow Jesus all the days of our life in the mighty name of Jesus. And then we'll be available for his use. Everlasting Father, I just want to bless you this morning. I appreciate you because you are God. And I pray that as from today, we shall be available unto you. Our heart is made open. And Lord, you will be the one to inhabit this heart in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will deliver us from the power of religion. So that we are not just following religious matters and then forget deep things of God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.